This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From AT&T Sports, Michael McHenry. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. Maybe a little sleepy. We had a late night with the West Coast. How about you guys?
Yeah, same thing. We pushed through it, though. A little tired, but we get through and we talk about it here. You can text us all the time, by the way. Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Okay, the injuries. And let's take Williams, but I wanted to ask this question first before we get particulars about injuries. If you're a catcher and you see a guy and you see something that comes up, Has there ever been a pitcher say to you, hey, I'm battling something, leave me alone out here? Or has it ever gone the other way where a pitcher says, if you see something off, let me know right away? What's a catcher's role in all of this when something happens and maybe you know a guy, you saw something that just didn't look right?
I think a catcher is supposed to mediate. You know, we're the only player not in the field of play, so I feel like we're an extension of the coaching staff. So I just tried to play that role as best I could. Probably my favorite story and probably the toughest thing I've ever seen is Casey Weathers when I was in the fall league. I literally saw him tear his UCL. I knew he tore his UCL. I knew he was going to be having Tommy John. And he threw three more pitches at 97, 98, and 99 to strike out the guy. He just shook off the slider, and I was like, wait a minute, why did he shake off the slider? And he shook it off again, and he just gave me these huge cartoon eyes, like, give me the heater. I got nothing left. And it was those three pitches, and then he literally walked towards me and then walked off the field and said, good job. I'm going to go have surgery probably soon. And that was it. It was one of those moments where you're like, man, that guy is really tough.
When you saw it happen, what did you see that said, oh, man, I think Casey just blew his elbow out?
It was just a wince. It was almost similar to what Williams did last night because – they have a similar personality, just really tough guy. You know, he had that wince, and he kind of threw a slider that was just off. Like, he'd been locked in. He played for Team USA that summer, just had an incredible year. And he just threw a ball that was about 3 or 4 feet off of where he normally would, and he winced. And I was like, that's not normal. And then he shook off the slider, and I was like, that's really not normal. So I knew something was going on. Sure enough, he tore his UCL. There's no doubt about it.
All right, tell me what you saw last night then in particular to Williams. Not speculation or anything, and I don't want you to go down that road, but what did you see from your eyes that you feel comfortable saying was off or what you see that you can report, so to speak?
So the easiest thing to see with your naked eye is, I mean, he's been throwing 94 to 96 pretty consistently, and a lot of times, whether it's a UCL or a tendon or a muscle, guys will do something a little bit out of the ordinary, and him throwing that hard has been out of the ordinary. So maybe he'd been stretching that, you know, oblique muscle or abdomen. You know, that's what he grabbed a hold of on that first pitch. And then that second pitch, that's what he winced and grabbed at again. So I'm assuming it's an oblique. I haven't heard anything this morning. I tried to look and read something. I haven't seen anything yet. But I hope it's not an oblique. I hope it's something that, you know, maybe just got a stitch in his side or a cramp, and, you know, he's right back because the Bucks just can't take an injury of Williams right now.
Yeah, talk about what it does for them functionally now, Michael, as far as their rotation. They're without Jameson Taillon through at least the end of June, and we'll see how soon he's able to come back. But then it's they're now down to Musgrove, Lyles, assuming Trevor is out for at least the start. It's Musgrove, Lyles, a pretty ineffective Chris Archer at this point in time, and then you're digging into Kingham and Brault, and with a doubleheader coming up a week from Monday, I don't know if it's Rookie Davis being called up, if Mitch Keller gets a start. Just how much more of this can they bear, or how much more can they weather?
first off, they need some incense and some type of injury dance in the clubhouse to mix some things up. Maybe some bubble wrap to wrap some of these guys in. But they got to do something. Whether they go get somebody, Rookie Davis is a good example of a guy that could come up and maybe fill in that role. But, you know, you look at where they're at, you know, still in the hunt, especially with all these injuries. You don't want to fall out. So, you know, if they feel like Mitch Keller could come up and be ready and they're not rushing him, especially after developing a cutter and doing a couple of mechanical changes, that's what you want to do. But the biggest concern is when you see a bunch of these injuries is you're starting to extend guys. I mean, DiRapo comes up and first six games he's up, he throws four and two-thirds innings. You know, guys are going to get extended and extended and extended. You have Broughton Keenum coming out of the bullpen to start. That's when you start worrying because the guys are going way outside their means to try to make up for the guys that are hurt.
Michael McHenry joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Is Richard Rodriguez just telegraphing his fastball and throwing it way too much?
The easiest way to put it is he is just not making pitches when he needs to make pitches. Last night, 1-2, you know, breaking ball right down the middle. And Ian Kinsler is a guy, he's a foot-down early guy. Most foot-down early guys really pick up spin well. But you can throw it because they pick it up well. You just have to extend that zone. When you put your foot down early, you're locked into the spot you are. You don't have adjustability. But since they get everything done, they're really good at just absorbing into their legs and adjusting the breaking balls. And that's what Ian Kinsler did last night. I guarantee you that guy's got 150 or more homers on a hanging breaking ball. And a 1-2 pitch to a veteran guy like that, you just can't make it. And, you know, you've seen a lot of good signs with Richard Rodriguez with his fastball. He's getting that miss hit again. He got some swing and misses lately on his breaking ball that has gone below the zone, and that's what made him really, really good last year. But he's got to be able to, you know, tunnel that pitch or sequence those two pitches together where it does have that deception. If not, he's just speeding up that bat, and it allows guys like Ian Kinsler to hit the ball almost on the roof in San Diego.
Let's talk about another guy who I don't know if he's telegraphing pitches so much as guys know that he's really only got two right now, and that's Chris Archer. We're getting back to the issue of Chris Archer not having a very deep arsenal. That's one of the criticisms people had of him toward the end of his tenure in Tampa, and now through 16, 17 starts as a Pittsburgh Pirate, he's just not getting the length in his starts, even when he's not getting hit around like he did the other day, because he's got to work deep into counts. He's got to work for swing and miss with the fastball, occasionally with the slider. At what point and how difficult can it be as a 30-year-old starting pitcher to say, I've got to add something to my arsenal, and how difficult can it be to do that at this point in his career?
You know, his last start, StatCast MLB, was whoever's doing the actual system was actually getting a bunch of them wrong. He was throwing a changeup that was actually incredible. It was just dropping off the table, but he couldn't throw for strikes. It was almost like Holmes' fastball. You know, Holmes walks a lot of guys because his fastball moves so much. And Archer had this changeup that was about 89 to 91, and it was just falling straight down and going into a right-handed hitter away from a lefty. And if he could have thrown it for strikes, I think the outcome of his last game would have been completely different. And I think that's what he worked on during his time on the DL for the 10 days once he could throw with his thumb. If he can get that pitch going, especially with that fastball, because he does have that late life on his fastball, he already has one of the best sliders in the game, I think it's going to make him a lot better. But, yeah, when he first came here, you know, being a two-pitch guy, he can pitch with two pitches, but he has to be able to put him at least on one side of the plate consistently. You know, when he's getting erratic and he's not repeating his delivery, it just makes it that much harder because it's not so much the pitches that the guys are looking for. It's if you have a fastball slider guy, you don't have to think about adjusting. That fastball slider is so close in speed. The only thing you have to worry about is the depth on that slider. If you just stay on that fastball, you can adjust the sliders. What makes them so good is they take off the last second, and that's why you swing at it because it looks just like a fastball. But if it hangs or if it's not located right, it's an easy pitch to just absolutely annihilate. And that's what happened the other day. Is he was just missing in a very, very big manner.
Michael, last thing for you. You got about 30 seconds left. Josh Bell had his hit streak snapped. Hopefully he starts another one tonight. How many games is it before a player starts thinking about it or until he pays attention to one? How many games does that take?
Depends on the guy. I bet with Josh Bell it was probably when the media started talking about it, maybe 7 or 8 games. I feel like as a player, I never noticed a hitting streak or anything until 7 or 8 games. You know, a week of getting a hit, you're kind of like, oh, man, I don't remember last time I didn't get a hit. You know, like, it feels good. You're just kind of in a rhythm. But sometimes you just go unconscious, and you're like, I have no idea. Maybe 2 or 3 days, and then it's 15. But that guy's been out of this world. I mean, those balls he hit in Arizona, he put a hole in the desert. It was just – he's just a special, special breed of talent, and he's showing it right now.
Michael McHenry, AT&T Sports. Great insight, as always, Michael. We really do. I don't think we tell you enough how much we appreciate your insight and how good it is. And we thank you again for bringing it to us this morning, Mike. And we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you guys. And you all have a wonderful day.
All right.
Man. Have
good
a great
stuff
weekend.
Once again. Great stuff. And, you know,
that story about watching a guy on the mound in the fall league blow out his UCL, like being able to tell that as a catcher.
Right.
And then watching him throw 3 more mid-90s fastballs before he finally gave in. I mean, that's incredible stuff.
Well, I parlay that into coming right off the top of his head and saying I think it's an oblique with Williams is not being good news. You
right,
know,
because that's, if anybody can recognize it, it's a guy who's been behind the plate for it.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eye on that for sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.